They say that everything new has not yet been created, that there's still a lot of new and wonderful things yet to be created. Now, that may well be. So, what is to be created yet? What is to come forth out of the infinite cosmos of ideas and surprise us? Well, we don't know. In the movie Oklahoma, he sings, they've gone about as far as they can get in Kansas City with all the modern fandangled things that are especially beautiful in a building that is seven stories tall. You know, it's got about as high as they can go. But you see, in every age, in every time, we think that things have been done as much as they can be done. But there will be some outstandingly disciplined person who goes further. Now, when they built the Empire State Building, there were many detractors who said, you cannot build a building that high. Nobody will have their office up on the top floor. The air is too thin. And it is thinner, but not that thin. And they said, who would want to go that high up? And who'd want to take two elevators to go up there? Because they designed the building to have two elevators. And, you know, one up to one level, and then another up to another, one to the 49th floor, and then another up to the 100th floor, whatever it is. Beautiful. So, how did these people, how did they have the strength to overcome the detractors who said it couldn't be done? In every life, in every attitude, in every walk, people are all having detractors who say whatever their dreams are, they can't be. Now, how is that going to happen? How can we work on it, huh? I will look at you like this, but otherwise the sun's in my eyes, so I don't look at you. Not because of you. So, no, that's fine. All right, that's a good idea. So, how are we going to go by these detractors who say that you cannot have a building that high and you cannot do things? Oh, this is great. You cannot do those things. Well, how did the people who overcame their detractors, how did they have the strength to do that? How did they have the strength to do that? Well, let's just take a look around over here. They were self-disciplined. They had self-dedication, self-diligence, and self-determination. They were right on top of everything. They were master of themselves. They were one-pointed. Oh my, had they to be one-pointed. They were untouchable by the comments that were made that it wouldn't work. They were not possessed by the concept that it had not been done before, because that is a big possession. And they were not judgmental. They did everything in double and triple strength. If the building required so much strength for their beams and girders and so forth to handle that load, they tripled the strength. It made the building heavier, but it just sat on the ground, wasn't flying anywhere, so it didn't hurt anything. But they made their building so strong and so powerful that there is not the slightest crack in the Empire State Building. There is not the slightest waver by the wind. Yeah, that's blowing up there, a pretty good storm sometimes. Now, some of the newer buildings are not quite that way. If someone were to take the like the Twin Towers and run an airplane into it, and they have done that, run an airplane into the Empire State Building, it wouldn't quiver. It's so strong. It's built like a ship that's built powerful. But the Twin Towers were built at maybe 1.5 times the strength that was needed to hold them up, to hold them at the wind, but not for airplanes hitting it and blowing it up. Now, perhaps if the Empire State Building had an airplane that struck it and that had a lot of munitions aboard that would blow it up, it would probably damage the Empire State Building to a degree. But it would not knock it down because it has such structural strength. It has such magnificence to it. Okay. You think here at the monastery that I am being very tough on you, and I'm being very demanding on you. You think that I am making requests of you that are just outrageous. Like I tell you, you take a shower, and when you're done, I don't want one drop of water in there, because if I find one drop of water in there, we'll nail the door shut on the shower. And you say, that's terrible. That's terrible. Do you realize how much time it takes me to make sure that every drop of water is out of there? And I say, I don't care. When you have learned to be perfect in that little area, that will spread over onto a dozen other areas. When you have learned to do everything perfectly, then you will be such a magnificent person. Do you think a master makes a mistake? Think again. When I tell you, don't bust up the dishes in the dishwasher, you say, and hey, there's no excuse. Everything is scientifically, if I use that word, created so that it does a perfect job. The rotator on the top that would nick off our dishes and we had to throw them away, was at a specific time, and you stuck the dishes in there week after week, day after day, and chipped them, and we had to throw them away. Now, why didn't something in your little gray matter up there say, hey, there must be a better way. Maybe we'll wash them by hand. Or maybe we won't use these big dishes. You know? Who knows? But no, nothing was going on up here. And so, your mentor had to suggest ways to you to help you develop self-discipline, self-diligence, self-dedication, self-determination, to follow the principle, to follow the principle. If you're not going to look behind your car when you back up, and then you're unhappy that you run over your child's toys, you can be thankful it's not your child. Because you hadn't disciplined yourself to look behind the car and make sure that nothing was back there, not the dog, the cat, the kid, your wife or husband, you know. Be careful. Be careful. You see, when you learn self-discipline, self-dedication, self-determination, self-diligence, when you learn these things, they're good for all areas of your life. You don't have to be here at the monastery to apply them, but you will apply them everywhere. When you have learned good manners as a child, you carry those throughout your entire life, even though you objected strenuously to learning good manners when you were a kid. You hated it. You hated it when your mother would make a comment or your Aunt Susie would say, now, give me a big kiss, Randall, let's now, come on now, you know. If you had listened to your Aunt Susie, you would have been perfectly harmonious with the Om. But no, you have to learn it first time at the Om, where you give a hug and then a kiss right on the mouth. But my God, that's terrible. Terrible? It's terrible to think that anything in this world is not our creation. And those lips that you're kissing are your creation. That person you're kissing and hugging is your creation. That's you. That's how you respond to yourself. Can you imagine the President of the United States objecting to kissing any child? Now, he perhaps would like to kiss every woman too, but that isn't the way the game is played. But every child, the mothers give, kiss my child. The President kissed my boy, my girl. The President kissed my child. You know, if that is such a glorious statement to make, how wonderful it is that you kiss your creation. You see, kissing that child, the child's not going to vote for the President. but his family will. Do you think that the family could vote for somebody else that didn't kiss their child? No way. You see, when we learn these wonderful habits, when we learn these wonderful programs for ourselves, it works in 100 different ways in our life. We are so blessed, we are so uplifted, we are so driven to a whole new pattern of life, and it's wonderful. Now think about it. Think about it. You're here in the monastery. You're not here because you want to have an easy way. You're going to live in your retirement. None of you are retired. You want to live in your retirement and just do nothing. Oh, you may change your program a little bit. You may not have an arm or a leg. You may not have some appendage that you can work with, but you can still work. You can still do things. We're not here to say that you should have all those things. That'd be nice. You could have all those things if you wanted to, but you play the game at whatever level you're at. And if you want to be a great man like Manly P. Hall, who spent his life in a wheelchair, I know why he did it. Because he was close to his work. He loved to write. He loved to research, loved to write. He was always sitting down, so it was so natural. And then he'd get up and give his lectures. Well, he just sat right down. He was sitting right down. He'd get up there. It was just no more than he's sitting behind his desk. He just rolled out on the stage. He started talking, and people just started overwhelming. They never realized that one mind could be so brilliant and so complete and so factual. And it was a great experience to get a tape of his sometimes. It would be a fascinating experience. But you see, here he was, handicapped. But his handicap did not stop him from his desire for himself. He built a great organization. And people really appreciated and delighted him. It's not the limitation. It's what we do with our unlimited aspects. Just flow with it. Well, here at the monastery, I'm having each of you use the little towels that are especially absorbent for water. And you use these towels, and you dry yourself after the shower. And then you have another little towel that you use to dry up the shower. We had a guest here the other day, and he took a big towel that I set out for him, and he dried himself, and then he put it on the floor and stomped his feet on it and rubbed it around the floor. Brand new, big, white, brilliantly white towel. And he's scrubbing our floor with the towel. And I came out and I said, "What are you doing?" I said, "This isn't the YMCA. Because at the YMCA, you wash yourself with a towel and you dry yourself and you stand on the towel while you're drying, you know, dressing so you don't get your feet dirty. And then you throw it into a hamper and it goes off to some truck, goes off to some hamper, some towel service that washes them in some great big thing and brings them back to the various organizations that use their service, you know, and use lots of bleach and all that kind of stuff. But we're not that way. Everything we have is a treasure. Every towel we have is a treasure. Every cloth we have is a treasure. Now you say, "Herb, you used to say, those were your mother's towels, those were your mother's rags, those are your mother's things, we should be careful with them, you know, and use them nicely." Remember that? Remember that? And he used to laugh at me. He used to say, "Boy, is he possessed." Well, I'm not possessed. I just unfortunately did what Katrina told me not to do. Katrina says, "Don't explain why you're having us do these things. Just tell us to do them, and if we don't do them, then we miss the blessing." And it's true. I shouldn't have told you they were on my mother's towel, because right away you thought I was possessed by them. I merely said that to you to give you a little thought that perhaps you should treat them a little more treasured, you know, a little more careful. My mother was dead and gone. Those were the last remnants of her life on earth, the things that I had here. And I wanted you to take it from that point of view, but as far as I was concerned, throw them away. I'm not possessed by anything that Mother ever had. If I'm possessed by anything and Mother is, it's who I am in my heart that she helped mold. And that's beautiful. That's all that I will ever have of Mother. And what mother's doing now is her business, you know. I don't stick my nose in her activities. And is she the same person that she was here as my mother? Quite likely not. Quite likely off into some other dimensions of activities and lifestyle. And maybe she's my puppy dog. And maybe she's one of you, you know, who knows? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because all is one. And we are one with all of life. And that's why we can kiss each other. Not because, oh, that's a man, you know, you kissed a man, or, oh, that's two women kissing each other. Oh, terrible, look at that dirty little kid. You're kissing that dirty little kid right on the mouth. This will hit home. Snuggles was such a lovely little dog. When little, thank you, when little Love comes in here, just after he finished draining outside, Snuggles goes over and licks off the leftover drain and then jumps up and kisses you in the mouth. Now, you don't complain. You don't complain. I mean, you know, not that it's anything good or bad, but you don't complain. But if you stop and think about it, it's not your everyday fare, you know. And it doesn't bother Snuggles at all, or Little Love, or Button, or anything else, you see. Or you. And what do mother animals do with their pets? I mean, their pets, their children, they lick them off. If their defecation hadn't cleaned off completely, they lick it off. And they lick them off. And they lick the child, their child. They lick him from head to toe, clean him up. And what does Little Love do to Button? Little Love comes up and gives Button an ear wash and an eye wash and a nose wash. And a mouthwash, he gets in there and cleans Button's teeth. I mean, my goodness, Button doesn't need to have a mother. He's got a little brother who takes care of him. So, you see, we have little habits that we build up. We say there are things that can get no different, that can never change. And we haven't even begun to dream our wildest dream. We haven't even begun to realize the most wonderful thing that might ever take place in our life. We haven't really begun to do it. And the training here at the monastery is to teach you to be so self-disciplined, so self-determined, so self-diligent, so self-dedicated, so one-pointed, so untouchable, so beautifully non-judgmental. What's the other one? So beautifully unpossessed that we are unconditionally loving. That's exciting, isn't it? Now, if that is your goal in being here at the monastery, please stay. If you have finished that training and you're ready to go out and play with it, go have fun. If while you're out there having fun, you realize, hey, I missed being non-possessed. You know, I'm possessed by these things. Well, you can work on it there, or you can come back. You're always welcome back at the monastery. But here at the monastery, remember, you're always in training. I'm always expecting the very best out of each one of you. And I'm always expecting that each one of you will give your very best to each other. And that each one of you will be here under the consideration that one of you is the Messiah, and none of you know which one that may be. It might be yourself, it might be me, it might be somebody else, but one of you is the Messiah. So treat everybody here as though they are Jesus Christ himself, the Buddha, Confucius, Lao Tse, Quetzalcoatl, Akhenaten, Aten, you name the names for God. And it could be Anita, Sylvia, Ingeborg, Ellen, Herb, Stefan, Gregor, Christina, Irene, Gertrude, and on, and even the saint. So, get with it. Get with it. We haven't begun to get, as the song says, I think they have gone as far as they can go. We haven't even begun. So have a lovely day and enjoy yourself. I love you.